It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoy.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
What's happening, Havasu and the tri-state area? Monday, October 17, 2022. Brother Jim in the studio today.
Yes, after a week off.
You did have a week off.
Yes, I was.
You got your hair cut in on that week off.
It took a week
to cut your hair.
Yes.
So that it made it look like you didn't have a haircut.
Takes a lot of planning.
But they failed because I recognized that you had a haircut.
That's just how observant you are.
So how you been now that you're a week older?
Well, I'm a week older, and we got the IGSBA World Finals over and done with for a year. And now we got the Scooter Championships done last weekend, and we're setting up the Run to the Sun, which we'll talk about tomorrow.
You're busier than I am.
I know.
Holy moly.
And I guess we're lucky to have you. You could have been You could have been a prisoner at at the desert.
You kind of are.
With an avalanche, huh?
Well, it wasn't an avalanche, but when we went back yesterday morning, there were two boulders blocking the road. There's a chasm right when you get to the desert bar. You know, and it maybe a dually will fit through it. You know what I'm talking about? Well, two boulders fell into that,
and
a big gully ran through. Yeah, we got hit pretty hard Saturday with a rainstorm.
Oh, yeah.
That hard enough to where my drum rug was still wet the next day when we loaded out.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, me too.
What's a drum rug?
I think it's a rug you put on a drum.
It's the rug you put under the drums. That's why they have little spikes on the stuff that dig in.
All right.
So, yeah, you don't put them on wood or concrete. Anyway.
Of course.
Thank you, Miss Tracy. Miss Tracy, our producer of the day.
Is this something hot off the press?
Yes, they're questions. The talking points.
In case our guests had some
technical difficulties this morning at the green room desk. So you got the green room desk. You got the Speak Out kitchen with no sink. We have very uniquely named rooms in the mothership. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, you do have a nice green room.
We do, but it's a pink room this month.
Yeah.
Well, it's a green room normally because of the light bulb that's in the green room for veterans. So you can see it at night. It's a big green glow. But this month, it's a pink room because there's a pink light bulb in there. Obviously, it's October, right?
Yep.
So anyway, let's see. Cardinals didn't do so well yesterday. I won't even talk about that because I didn't see the game. That's not the only reason. It's because they lost. 20-9? Really?
Yeah. That was a horrible game.
You can't do more with Geno Smith than that?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Neither team was horribly impressive. We were just less horribly impressive.
So we're battling for the cellar? Is that it?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a draft pick issue, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, getting the top quarterbacks in the last couple drafts just wasn't enough for Steve Keim, right?
Yeah.
I guess so. All right. So the Broncos at Chargers tonight at 4:30 over on the sports station, 980 AM, 94.3 and 100.5. And that entire schedule from the weekend, we'll have it up today or tomorrow for the rest of the week, is at KNTRSports.com. And congratulations to the Havasu High Fighting Knights. Did pretty well on Friday. I think I turned it off. It was like 28-0. So against Gila Ridge.
Yeah.
And they were nights at home, and they had a bye week they were coming off of, right?
Yep. Everybody well rested.
Yeah.
Ready to
especially
go.
Isaac Stopke.
Yeah. That kid's a beast. Yeah.
Isn't he, though?
Yeah.
He runs like you used to in high school, right?
Yeah, reminds me of me in my dreams. Yeah.
He's about Pete's size.
Yeah, kid's an athlete. He's always been an athlete, even in Pop Warner football.
Oh, really?
Kid's been a stud his whole life.
Oh, very good. So if a guy like that that's at running back, a lot of running backs, they go to college and they say, hey, you're a linebacker now, right? Or those big running backs.
Right.
Do you see him going to college as an RB or as a linebacker?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
That's a tough one.
I think you go to college, if you get the college you want to play at, you play wherever they tell you to play.
Yeah,
you
know? That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. All right, so before I get any nasty grams in my email, we know how that works, right, Jim? If I don't introduce the guest.
Yes. I was wondering if you were going to make it a secret who you were talking to.
Oh, everybody knows the voice of Dan Doyle. Police Chief Dan Doyle in the house. We'll talk during the break, but this might be your last appearance on Speak Out.
Very well could be.
It could be.
That sounds like a threat.
Well, no.
I'll still be alive. I just won't be doing this show.
You're gonna get an option with a player to be named later.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see what happens in the draft.
Exactly. So, and then we have Fire Chief Pete Palafis in the house. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
There's your mic.
Yeah.
I was like, where are you?
I'm here. It's always a pleasure being with Dan. So.
Yeah?
Oh.
I was asking about the whole car thing when you guys walked into the pink room, the old green room, because you ride in the same vehicle.
Yeah. Well,
is that to save energy, or is this an ethical issue? Because you have a fire vehicle, right?
I do, and it's marked.
Oh, it says Big Kahuna. I don't know what.
No, it says Lake Havasu City Fire.
Yeah. All right, yeah. All right.
Yeah, but when we're going to the same spot, I'll just swing by and pick them up.
I got you.
Yeah,
we try to conserve gasoline and
I think this is our time that Dan and I, you know, we bond.
It's our alone time. It's our alone time.
So the one lunch a week isn't enough.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Chiefs can't have lunch with just anybody, so I get that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
All right. No punchline?
No, I'm thinking.
I got you. So, all right, let's keep it a little softer right now with Halloween safety.
Yeah.
You got Halloween coming up. You got Fright Night in Havasu. But there's still people that trick-or-treat or take their kids trick-or-treating.
Oh, yeah. We still get quite
very
a few
traditional
people.
Town for that. So what should people do? I'm gonna ask Chief Pete first, especially with pumpkins, candles, that sort of thing, fire safety. It's still, I know there's been other cities where they call it, you know, Fright Night on Halloween. It has nothing to do with an event.
Sure.
It has to do with scaring people with fire.
Yeah.
But there is a real threat with pumpkins and using candles in that, isn't there?
Well, any time you have an open source of a fire, obviously you got to treat it with respect and make sure that you're using it properly. It's the thing is, I haven't seen it here. I know, obviously, in the Midwest where we had some kids, high school kids, that would just take and obviously smash pumpkins and try to, have some type of destruction. And this is a big time, at least in Detroit, with Devil's Night. You know, that's what you're talking about. But that's in the Midwest. Here, we have great residents, great kids that live in Havasu that are raised well, that they're not going to do anything stupid. I think it's important that it's a great time to celebrate a Halloween, have fun, be respectful, but there's no need to damage anything and just treat everything with respect and be kind to people. So,
Chief Doyle, give me some tips as far as what people should do. I mean, it's hard to come up with a costume and then cover it with reflective material and all that. Is there something people can do other than, you know, put their kid in a giant reflective coat to cover their costume?
Well, that's our first recommendation, is giant reflective coats.
All right.
No, I mean, you can get those little glow sticks and you could put it around their wrists, hang it from their costume, hang it from around their neck, have them carry a flashlight, something that they're going to be seeing. We don't have street lights. It gets very dark. And when you have a bunch of kids and the kids are excited, they're out there on the street and they're running around to collect up candy. So drivers need to be extra vigilant, obviously. But for parents, make your kid as visible as possible. With the young kids, escort them. Make sure you're with them. Watch crossing the street, especially the streets that don't have sidewalks. We got some great places to trick-or-treat with sidewalks and such, obviously a lot safer. I'd also advise only go to homes with, you know, number one, places you know within your neighborhood, but also homes with a light on outside. Check their candy. Don't take any unopened candy. Look for anything suspicious in their candy. If it's unwrapped, throw it away. I also encourage people to not give anything that's unwrapped or not in manufacturer's packaging to the kids. And then drivers, just be extra vigilant that night for the children. That we've been very fortunate over the years. But masks, one of the things is we also get the kids that they'll have a mask and they can't see anything. So you got a kid out there staggering
around.
'Cause
it'll fit, right?
Yeah, you know, staggering around and can't see where he's going.
Looks like mom gave him a 40 or something, right, before he went out.
Yeah.
And you just can't see.
Yeah, and maybe I'd say even with the children, because, I mean, now like 3-year-olds have iPhones. You know.
No comment.
Yeah, take the, you know, if they're going to go out, don't take the phone away so that they're not texting, snapping, chatting, TikToking, all the various things as they're walking down the street.
And that's a really good point, even for adults.
Thank you.
Right?
I was hoping that I'd have one good point out of this whole thing.
No, there's a lot of people that like to text.
A
lot of people that text and walk, and you have to. You're walking down the street trying to make your way down the street.
Yeah.
In some cities, even happens to on Main Street sometimes. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. No, you see
right
it all the
here.
Time. Adults do that all the time. They're on their phone, and they lose total consciousness of everything that's going on around them in their car, you know. But
Chief, do we have much trick-or-treating in Havasu? I know in the earlier years, the population density was so light that, you know, there wasn't very much because kids would have to go so far to find occupied homes.
There are a lot of neighborhoods here, too.
Yeah, and I think we used to see more of the kids out on the street, but now we have so many different areas of people doing trunk-or-treat, like the churches and different events going on that I think. And then within some smaller neighborhoods, especially some of the gated communities and stuff, that parents are taking their kids to specific locations to trick-or-treat. Like, I know on my street, I rarely see any kids on trick-or-treat walking down the street going house to house.
That's because you're the police chief. They don't want to go to your house.
Yeah. I hand out business cards.
With an emergency room number on it. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's excellent. So, anyway, I was going to ask you about your latest TikTok dance and where I was going to find it on TikTok. So,
well,
but I don't go on TikTok. So,
as soon as I retire, then I'm going to start my whole TikTok show.
You need a retirement dance.
Yeah.
You know
that,
right?
I'd heard that.
But there was always, you know, when we trick-or-treated as kids, at least in my neighborhood, there was always that person that gave out the weird, you know, a candied apple that was wrapped in cellophane. I'd look at them, well, that's not going to pass mom's test.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're giving out something for Halloween, just keep in mind that if it's not wrapped, if it's not candy, don't dump candy corns in someone's bag.
The parents should be throwing all that away, or don't bake cookies and hand out cookies, because if the parents are on top of it, all that's going to get thrown away. And that's a big reminder of parents to stay with the younger kids, especially to make sure they're not eating the candy as they go before the parent can inspect it.
Good luck with that project. Huh?
Yeah.
That's a great segue into the newest fentanyl issue.
Yeah.
You know, the fentanyl that looks like candy.
Right.
Being given out at
it might
Halloween.
Be. Yeah. We don't know, but how is it marked, Chief?
Well, that's the problem, is a lot of it's not marked. We're also seeing, we've also seen methamphetamine now coming out in those sweet tart looking pills in different colors. So that's our biggest concern, is that some young kid sees these, some child, and thinking it's candy. And what's the first thing a young child will do is they just pop anything in their mouth and eat it. So that's been a real concern of ours. We've put information out to the community. We've worked with the school district. But just getting that information out of, just don't put anything in your mouth like that, that, you know, you're not sure where it came from. But yeah, they are marketing this and making it look like candy. And it's not a new technique with drug dealers, is trying to make the drug seem more appealing. And even to an adult, oh, well, how dangerous could it be? Yeah. It looks like candy. It's a, you know, kind of a psychological effect that they use of pushing this innocuous looking.
And that really enhances sales?
I never understood that.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you want to kill your customers? I never understood that.
Well, their goal isn't to kill the customers. The goal is to hook them on their drug and increase their sales. So one of the things that you have to remember with, like, the drug cartels that are pushing the, you know, the vast, vast majority of drugs coming into the country are coming from our southern border. The drug cartels are pushing across. They are like a major corporation. They're business people, and their product is drugs. Mm-hmm. And they monitor what we're doing, what our trends are, what any changes in statutes, and so, and they constantly are adapting and pushing their product to maximize their profits. So everything they do is to maximize profits. So their ultimate goal is the more people they can get addicted to their drugs, the more sales they make. And they obviously they don't care if some are overdosing, and the drugs are made as cheaply as possible. So there's no regulation, obviously, on how much fentanyl is any one pill or how much drug is in any one pill. So that's just, they're not too concerned about that.
Right.
They're just concerned about making a profit.
You just generated a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Nobody is really talking about the fact that China is behind all this, and it's a war on the United States citizens, and they're behind it.
There is a lot of the fentanyl in the meth that is manufactured in China.
So one of the things that, if you remember back when we had passed a bunch of legislation limiting precursor chemicals when methamphetamine was a big deal, and going back into the 90s when
the
we
Sudafed?
Had... And they were taking ephedrine, and they were manufacturing drug in drug labs all over the United States. Mm-hmm. That was a big thing. Well, we really put a dent in that by limiting the access to ephedrine and such. Well, when we limited it and it really restricted the amount of drug labs in the United States, the cartels then turned around and they created super labs just south of the border, and they were having ships full of ephedrine were being shipped over from China, and that's where they were getting it and shipping it in, making methamphetamine in the super labs and then pumping it across our border. So, yeah, they do get a lot of material comes out of China.
See how smart our listeners are?
Yeah. Absolutely. We got a lot of smart people in Havasu.
And that should be brought up more often. Something needs to be done about it.
I will bring that up when I talk about it.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for
the
call.
Let's go ahead and take a break. And I guess it's going to be mostly Bob Seger. I don't know.
Well, I hope so.
Well, we still have Chief Pete here.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to listen to Barbara Streisand.
Oh, man. Wow. How about a Halloween joke?
Well, go for it.
All right. Why did the vampire read the newspaper? Because he heard it had great circulation.
Oh! Ouch.
All right. Enough with the dad jokes for now. Sorry, Jim.
Wow.
They can't all be zingers, man. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie. Myself,
that'll take a while to make up for.
Myself, Brother Jim Russell, Police Chief Dan Doyle, and Fire Chief Pete Palafis back with more in 2.5 minutes. Stay with us. We're back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell, who is talking in class right now.
Yes, sorry about that.
You're going to timeout, man.
Okay.
Speak Out, timeout. Hey, that sounds cool, huh?
Yeah.
Speak out, timeout. All right. This one's for you, Chief. Not because you're a beautiful loser, but because you've had an earworm for this song for like a month, you said.
Yeah, I've had this in my head.
Since the last show.
Yeah.
When we played it.
Yeah, but nobody's ever accused me of being beautiful.
I don't even know where to go with that. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Arizona Financial Credit Union. GDK LLC. Springberg Wealth Management. Patio Paradise. And by SamsGuns.com. And if you miss any of the hilarity from earlier in the show, you can go to KNTRTalk.com. Listen to the show archives, as well as on the Lake Havasu City app. Jim.
Yes, and while you're shopping local, which you need to do, be sure to visit all of these folks who are clever enough to advertise here on Speak Out.
Very cleverly done.
Yes.
You like that?
See what you did right there.
That paying homage to a former host.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to the phones. Caller, you're live on Speak Out. Hello, caller.
Russ Muscari.
Hey, Russ, how are you?
Paul. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm awesome.
Good. Not on the hilarity part of your conversation with Chief Doyle. Hi, Chief.
Semper Fi. How you doing, Russ? Semper Fi.
Good. Thank you very much. You know, we talked about drugs, and we talked about Be Connected. You know, there's a couple of organizations in our community now, Southwest Behavior, and Lisa's the gal that can be reached for that, and also ARC, the Addiction Recovery Center, that's Emily. For people who do have problems with addiction, there are some people in town that can be reached out to for help. And also, Dan, I really appreciated the mental health column newspaper article that you had a really great interview with them. And this has been an issue in our town for a long, long time, and it really is great to see that being addressed. And, you know, we at the Be Connected organization have had an upstream prevention attitude about suicide and the suicide prevention. And this is a very important element, a very important program that you're bringing to town and headquartering them in your police department. And I think it's just wonderful work that you're taking on as you're leaving. So great to see the launch, and I'll hang up and listen.
Wow. He's yielding his time.
Yeah.
Thanks, Russ. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Russ is a great guy. We're really excited to have this service here for Mobile Crisis Team in Lake Havasu City. I think that's going to do wonders for us. I don't know if you wanted to go into that. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
No, I'm not.
Okay. We've been looking at getting a mobile crisis team for mental health issues for many years now, and we'd gone through many different meetings and efforts to try to bring some level of mobile crisis team response here to Lake Havasu City. Earlier this year, we were contacted by Community Health Associates, and it's funny, there's many different names that they've got going, but Community Health Associates was bringing a mobile crisis response team to our area, to Mojave County. So we met with them, and this is a service that was coming here. But we met with them, talked about what are your needs. We'd like to partner, and we'd like to be involved with this. They said, well, we're looking. We just got to find space. We said, well, hey, we would really like to give you space at the police department where we can kind of embed you, and we can learn from you. You can kind of see what we're doing and really establish kind of a joint response effort. So we did that. We went to council. Council was all in favor of it, and we provided them space, and they're operating out of the police department, and they're providing mobile health crisis response for mental health issues. Throughout Lake Havasu, people can call them direct. It's all the information's in the newspaper article that was out today. Michael Zog did an interview with myself and the team leader for the mobile crisis team, and really did a great job of laying out all that information.
So, that's really interesting. Is there a chance where officers and the mobile crisis team would meet besides at the field, at the police station? Would they meet in the field at all? Are there certain situations where they'll be there?
So typically the way it'll work is we've got a number of people in town that we deal with all the time that are having a mental health crisis. Typically, if it's if they're threatening to harm someone or they're threatening to harm themselves, we can do what's called a Title 36, and we can have them committed for evaluation to try to get them help. But we deal with a lot of people that there's a crime's not being committed, they're not threatening themselves, they're not threatening, they're just having a crisis, and we deal with them over and over and over. Well, all we can do prior is we show up, we calm the situation, we can de-escalate the current crisis, but it's not doing anything. We're handling a symptom, we're not handling the cause. And then the next day or the next week, we're showing up again and doing it all over again. We got some great resources in town, Southwest Behavioral, that Russ had talked about. We have some great partners there, but a lot of these, they don't have that mobile crisis response program. Mm-hmm. So this is to, you know, get them the help they need on scene, because a lot of times we say, hey, you can call a hotline or you can get into these services, and I'm trying to get the people to follow up and get the help, whereas we can bring somebody out that can talk to them, assist them, get them to the help that they need. So,
Chief Pete, does this help your guys too? Because a lot of times you are at the same scenes with the police department in that. Is this something that the fire department can utilize as well?
Absolutely. This is a great organization, and that Dan brought in the partnership that we have them accessible for us now to have that resource. Because if not, we would just transport them to the hospital, and they would have to go to another, basically, in Kingman.
Get kicked through the system.
And
right.
The thing is, I think it's a great for Havasu to have them in town to assist us with individuals that might have, you know, that mental crisis issue. And, yeah, we work side by side, and it's great for us. It's great for the community.
There's still a great side story to that is code enforcement actually used them, where code enforcement had a complaint, a residence, well, an elderly woman lives by herself, place basically kind of a mess. Well, they get there, determined there's a mental health issues going on there, so we were able to dispatch out the mobile crisis team to go out with them and meet. And so code enforcement was able to take advantage of that and partner with them also.
You've been listening to the show, haven't you?
Yeah, because
code enforcement was on. Right.
Yeah, I always listen to your show.
Well, it's Steve's show, number one.
Well, somebody.
If I see something bad, he's the one that reaps the whirlwind, not me.
But you're the
other
star.
Other than me being out of a job.
But you're the upfront guy. You're
I
the
wouldn't
star.
Say star.
I would.
I would say big fish in a small pond, maybe, or a small fish in an even smaller pond.
I refer to you as a star.
Okay.
Or a big fish.
We'll let you live with that illusion, all right? All right, I'm Paul LaVoy along with Brother Jim Russell. I got to play a song for Chief Pete called Separate Ways because, you know, we're all going to be going our separate ways. Not with Chief Pete.
Great
I'm sorry.
Song. I'll the be song going my separate
for,
way.
The song is for Chief Pete because it's Journey, but it's dedicated to you, Chief Doyle.
All right,
getting
thank you.
My jefes all mixed up, Jim.
Boy.
Man.
Very confusing.
Tough weekend. All right, back with more in a moment. We're with, of course, Chief Dan Doyle and Chief Pete Palafis, Dia de dos Jefes.
Si.
I got it right.
Si.
All right, back with more enrollment. That's correcto mundo, right?
Probably.
Could be.
Yeah.
All right, stay with us. You're not turning your back on us, are you, Chief? You're not going to turn your back and walk?
Absolutely not.
No. But it says you were quicker than they thought.
Yeah.
Quicker in retirement, right?
Well, if you call 34 years being quick.
Yeah, you hurried right into that.
Yeah.
Quicker underwater, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what Chief Pete and I were talking about off the air, you know? How you kind of resemble Scuba Steve when you're not on the job.
Yes, I get that a lot.
Sure. You're just not much for the comeback today, right? Hey, folks, we do have a phone call. I need to remind everybody that Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, Herbs Herbs, also Sun Power by Esme Electric, the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology. Go online to lesolson.com/Kingman. Les Olson, how do you spell it, Chief?
O-L-S-O-N.
It's olson.com/Kingman. That's kind of the delivery I came up with.
Yeah, that was good.
Kind of catchy.
Yeah.
Before we get to the phones, I want to remind people, I want to announce to people, I didn't even tell them yet, we have two Taste of Havasu tickets. Yeah, right?
For Pete and I?
For Wednesday. No, no, for a lucky caller.
I thought you were going to present
during
us
the
with
next,
something.
During
yeah.
the next
sort of
break.
Sort a retirement gift in lieu of no, a gold watch.
Yeah, because that's a great event.
It is a great event, and it's, of course, brought to you by the K-12 Foundation, and it's at the Rodeo Grounds at Sarah Park this year, again, 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, and we have two tickets and sponsored by Anderson Toyota. So there you go, Wells Fargo, and it looks like Mission Bank as well. Bunch of restaurants out there. You got Che Bones, Charged Up, Hangar 24, Lynn's Little China, Mr. Lemonade. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, he's a vendor at a vendor.
Really? Mm-hmm. River Blend Coffee, Small Cakes. Can't stay away from that place. Love that place. Anyway, give us a call in the next break if you want those two tickets to the Taste of Havasu. It does not have a dollar amount on them. So I guess they were the comp version, right? Is that how that works?
I guess so.
They didn't
so.
Put a dollar amount on them. All right, caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Morning, guys. Hey, just real quick, I wanted to congratulate Chief Doyle. Hey, great job. 34 years on the job, public safety. Well done. And hope you have a great, healthy retirement.
Well, don't make him cry.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
I did 44 years in public safety in Arizona and fire. And, man, I tell you what, I'm enjoying retirement. I hope, wish you the same.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
And I had a question for Chief Pete real quick. I just wanted to get Chief Pete's take on the Prop 310 that's coming up on our ballot November 8th about funding for Arizona fire districts. I know Lake Havasu is surrounded by fire districts on both the north and south sides and all that with Desert Hills and Buckskin. But I know the professional firefighters of Arizona, a lot of the IF locals are openly supporting Prop 310, one-tenth of 1 cent sales tax. It'll last for 20 years to help fund fire and medical districts. And I just want to get Chief Pete's take, and I will listen off the air, and I will yield my time, and have a great day, gents.
That's a great question, by the way.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
The call.
So, it is a great question, Prop 310 for the districts. And, you know, if the districts get proper funding, it assists everybody. And I think it's important that even though Lake Havasu City itself doesn't specifically benefit from it, but how we indirectly benefit from it is for the districts to get that funding to support, you know, additional staffing apparatus. So, I mean, when it comes to supporting each other, I think it's important that we're all properly funded. So I wish them the best of luck, and I appreciate you thanking Dan for his retirement and your service to the fire service. But I think it's a very important prop to look at and see where it goes, because it indirectly it'll help us, so they'll be properly staffed.
Chief, what are surrounding districts for us?
So surrounding districts for us that actually touch Havasu, and I'll say Desert Hills is a fire district that we work closely with to assist them, and they assist us. So we also have a mutual aid agreement throughout the county, Mojave, that will help each other out in the time of need. Let's say Buckskin is a fire district that kind of touches us, but we have that no man's land right at 95 down to Bill Williams Bridge. It's really not our district. It's just there. But we help and assist with those districts. But throughout the Mojave County, just in Arizona alone, there's 144 fire districts.
Wow.
And those are just separate government agencies that take care of the fire, either fire-based EMS or fire protection for their service area. Hmm. So I think it's important to that we all support each other. So
now, speaking of support, you have CERT teams or a CERT team.
Yes.
How does that work? Do they take volunteers?
They do. And our CERT team was brought underneath the fire department in the last say about 4 months or so. And we have our team leader, Bob McMillan, that does an excellent job. Shout out to him, too. He was nominated for the 2022 CERT Leader of the Year. And we're still waiting for his plaque to come in to give it to
cool.
him. But Bob's been instrumental in one of our team leaders. The coordinator for the team is our Deputy Chief, Jason Stillo. And he kind of looks over the operations of the CERT team with the leadership of Bob. And then Kevin is the assistant team leader. And they have roughly, Bob, don't quote me, but we have about 34 members. And these individuals are great. And they need to get the recognition from not only the fire department, but from the city. They help out so much at events,
yes.
doing first aid. But now they're just underneath the fire department with us, just helping them, making sure they have a budget, making sure they have equipment, and just to have some direction that they assist us. Hands down, they've been very busy with us over the month of September with the structure fires that we've had. And they provide rehab, changing bottles, making sure that our guys are hydrated. They'll assist us too, even further if someone gets displaced and we need to, you know, transport them to the hotel or something like that. They'll assist us. They'll work side by side with Red Cross. But hands down, all of them, the CERT team here in Lake Havasu, and it's the Lake Havasu City CERT team, are an essential part of what they do for volunteering and getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, coming out to help us. And they're available to the PD. They're available to the city, and they don't get enough credit. And we really appreciate them, especially during our busy times of October with the special events to help us. So kudos to Bob and everybody on CERT. We really appreciate you and everything that you do for us. And it's a great program.
Yeah, that's, I mean, just the rides, you know, you're dealing with people that could be having the worst day of their life. Mm-hmm. They lost their house, they've lost their possessions. It takes a special type of person to deal with other people that are going through that loss.
Oh, absolutely. And they assist us along with Red Cross, too. Here in Havasu, it's just wonderful how the citizens and we all come together to help each other out. And that's just great to be part of.
Chief Doyle, I don't know if I talked to you about this before, but I know you 34 years on the job in the Lake Havasu City Police Department. How many years as chief?
16.
Okay, 16. So the training facility has been the council chambers for the past, what, 25?
Shortly after they finished building the police department, so, it became the temporary council.
So other than that being a goal to have their own, you know, council chambers and that, and you getting your police facility back, what goes undone? What is unfinished business for you as you leave as the chief of the Lake Havasu City Police Department?
Absolutely nothing.
You got everything you want.
It is.
Wow. You know, can I have some higher boots?
Yeah.
It's getting deep in here.
You know, one of the great things about my job, and it's the same for Pete and our line of work, is it never ends. If you're not constantly striving to improve and move forward, you're going backwards. So, you know, it's always trying to be better tomorrow than we are today. So there's so much more that we've had planned and things we want to do, and that's never going to end. There's always more we want to do and more we want to accomplish. And the minute you stop having more to accomplish, then you're stagnant and it's time to go. But there's plans, but there's people at the police department that are perfectly capable. It's a great staff. It's humbling for me to be able to work with those people for so long because they are so talented. They're going to carry that department on in the future. It's going to be, it's just constantly going to be better and better. So, it's not me that gets the accolades for all that. It's the people that actually accomplish the work. I'm just the face.
So what's the timeline for when you pick up
that was part of that beautiful
yeah
thing.
I get that. Yeah. What's the timeline for when you pick up the petitions for your next political office? Because that was a really good answer.
Why would you wish that?
Right. Is there anybody you want to thank for the past 34 years of service? Any mentors, anybody under you that's done an outstanding job? I know there's a lot of people to name.
Oh my gosh, there is. I mean, my greatest mentor ever was my father. Obviously, I've had a few other. My gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps was a big one, and then my academy commander, who just was very influential upon me. But yeah, the people that I work with, my gosh, my assistant Jill Eckelberger, who's worked for me. She's been at the department 1 year longer than I have.
Gosh,
so she's been 35 years. And she's been my assistant since I've been chief, and prior to that when I was captain, and then when I was a patrol lieutenant, and on days she was the patrol secretary. So she's watched my back, and she's kept me out of trouble, and made sure I got to where I need to be. So I owe her big time. I can never repay her for everything she's done.
What's the plan for week one?
For retirement?
Yeah. Sleep in?
You know, first maybe about a week, but then I'm heading to the beach, and I'm going to be at the beach for a while, and then I've got about 8 months worth of trips planned. So I'm going to be doing a bunch of traveling, and then I'm going to come back and figure out what I do with the rest of my life.
Any plans to consult or anything like that for, you know, the department or the city or anything,
you know,
or DSM events maybe? You got a guy over there that used to work for you.
Yeah, the only thing I don't know what I'd be qualified for there. I think I could clean out.
You could
be
Richie's assistant.
Yeah, I could clean out the porta johns, or I could actually drive Richie around in the golf cart.
Yeah.
No, you know, I don't have any plans. It's everybody tells me I'm going to get bored, and I'd like to try that. You know, that sounds exciting. But no, I've got about 7-8 months worth of travel planned, and then my whole plan is to then, I'm keeping my house here. Havasu's my home, always will be. And then I'll come back and figure out what I'm going to do.
Sounds good. Yeah. And you won't have to put on the vest anymore.
Exactly.
The Kevlar.
Exactly. It'd be definitely a new experience.
We have a guest in the studio, except he owns the studio.
I just wanted to congratulate Chief Doyle on his retirement. And one of the things that Chief Doyle has always been very good at is when the community is doing a special event, and we are involved in a lot of special events around town, it's no, you can't do it. It's what can we do to make it happen?
Yeah.
And having that type of camaraderie with the community and showing us that it's not impossible to deal with the police department for all these years has been a big advantage to Lake Havasu City, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. And it's been a great partnership with you all these years also.
Wow, I think you're tearing up over there.
I did, a little bit.
I don't think you can cry in law enforcement. There's no crying in police work, is there?
Well, if that's what you need to do.
I'm mocking a movie right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I cried one time. I think it's when the doctor smacked me.
Right. But Chief Pete, what about you? What did you take away as Chief Doyle leaves? You're new to the community. Mm-hmm. He's obviously been somewhat of a mentor to you, correct?
No, but
that's not a bad thing.
Don't put that on me.
He's a great example. That's what I meant.
Yes. You know what? From the first time I came out here to test for the chief's position, and I met Dan, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's just I am so honored to work next to such an awesome, fabulous chief, and you've been a great mentor to me throughout my time, helping me acclimate to the culture of Lake Havasu. And I tell you, it's sorely missed because you've always been there for me if I needed to pick up the phone, just to like a big brother. So even though you know, the police side, it's both of us, and I feel the brotherhood here and the sisterhood, just a family atmosphere, and I honestly will always, I'll miss you, and I always wanted to work with you, so I'm not going to cry.
God, so. I so want to hug you right now.
I didn't script it in this direction.
Yeah.
It just
you guys are like, I'm going to have to go home now.
Yeah.
But
it just kind of went that
way. It's humbling. I mean, being able to work with people of high quality like Pete. I mean, it's just been as beneficial to me. So
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Notice he didn't include us in that high quality.
Yeah, right.
People
when
he works.
I thought it was given. I mean, the famous Jim Russell. I mean, good Lord, how many people get the opportunity to sit
next
to you once a month?
Yeah.
Well, we're not.
You're just.
And then Paul's
for
a star.
Richie's assistant.
Yeah.
Job.
Yeah.
Well, there is that. So we're not going to do the first responder show in November because it's Thanksgiving week. So have a great Thanksgiving, Chief Doyle.
All right, thank you.
Have a great Thanksgiving, Chief Pete, and your family. And I'll have a great Thanksgiving as well. Jim?
Yeah.
Is his oldest Thanksgiving.
That's right. I created it.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it only looks like you're 40.
Right. Uh-huh.
We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
I see their faces. I feel the traces they've left on my soul. And those are the memories that make me a wealthy soul.
Man, that went fast.
Yes, yes.
You should have just opened up the phones for people to call in and tell Chief Doyle, you know, what they think of him.
Oh, that.
Well, we might have got fined for that, too, right? All right.
Might not have been a good send-off.
Right, absolutely. So on tomorrow's show, we'll have John Homerding from Run to the Sun, along with Brother Jim Russell.
Yes.
We're going to do it again like Groundhog Day. And then we've got a little substitution change in the schedule. So we're bringing in Jillian Usher. And I'm going to talk about one of my favorite topics, procrastination. It is one of my favorite topics.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I'm procrastinating ending the show right now, right? No, there's a Procrastinator's Day that's going to happen at the at the Museum of History. All those people who hadn't been to the museum yet, she's got a special deal for you. So you're going to want to listen tomorrow at 11:30.
Very good.
All right, Jim. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
And I'll see you on Friday at Run to the Sun because we're doing a remote there. And up next is Hannity, preceded by Fox News. So stay with us all afternoon.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.